I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourself and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As you look at these scriptures, the verses 1 through 6 or 1 through 5 speak of how God is going to restore Israel, restore Jerusalem. This is an ancient text, and it's talking about the exile and the coming back and the people coming back unto the Lord. But it also speaks to us today who are the church, because God has raised up a people throughout the world, and we are part of Israel, and everything that we hope for needs to look towards Jerusalem. Because it is as Jerusalem is established, as Jerusalem is raised up, that we will see the wonders of God and the glory of the Lord. So many times in history, we as people here in the United States, and I'm going to say some things that may upset you, but we become pretty self-centered. We look at our nation and who are we and what are we doing? I want us to remember we are not just American citizens if you're in this church here in the United States today, but we are citizens of the kingdom. Can I get an amen? And that kingdom far outweighs the citizenship of the United States. Do I recognize my citizenship of the United States? Yes, I'm a proud American. I want America to go back to where it was. But I hate to tell you, I've read the book. It's not going to happen. I'm so tired of these pundits who are out there saying, oh, God's going to intervene and he's going to take all these people out and, you know, we're going to have America again and it's going to be great. Read the book. Please, read the book. At this point, we're called to be watchmen, and we are to hasten the day. Look what it says in verse 7. In verse 7, it says, give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. We are to hasten the day. How do we hasten the day? By pointing out all the stuff that's bad. How many of you have noticed that since all this stuff is going on and more people are paying attention, it has seemed to speed up? There's more and more coming at us all the time, and it's happening quicker, because what is happening is the church is literally fulfilling the watchman prophecy that we are to be calling out unending, because that will hasten the day, because Satan knows his time is short and he's got to act quickly. And this will hasten the day. And in that, we have people to win to Christ Jesus. That's why we're speaking out. That is why we're speaking out. We're not speaking out to bring America back to that place of preeminence. That's gone, folks. We've been around for 250 years almost. How often does a civilization fall once it reaches the top point? Right at about 250 years. Well, guess what? We're there. Do I like it? No, because this is my country. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. But I want to ask you a question. If World War III starts tomorrow, who's going to fight for us? For those of you who are out there, you don't see this, but my congregation here, I have a couple young people that are lower than 35. Okay? A few more that are a little lower than 45. The rest of us are up there above 50. If it would come to World War III, everybody above 50 would be going to war. Because today, that's not going to happen. I hate to tell you the truth, but it's my job. I'm a watchman. I am to call out. I am to speak truth into this world, and I'm going to speak it into your lives, because that's who we are called to be, watchmen on the wall, calling out, continually, not stopping, until he brings this thing to happen. And only he can, because look what we've done. Folks, is this just happening in the United States? No. This is happening worldwide. Every government of every nation is under attack. Every people of every nation is under attack. And we need to understand that. And we need to grapple with that. And we need to become these watchmen, aware. But guess what? As I was preparing for this sermon and I was doing the word studies on watchmen, it was amazing where the concordances and the commentaries took me when it came to the Old Testament watchmen and what correlated to it in the New Testament. Guess where it took me? And I was just blown away by this. But it took me to the place where it says, and he poured out his gifts among men. He called some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be preachers, some to be teachers. That is where we are to be calling out. You and I are to be those apostles, those prophets, those preachers, those teachers. We are to be the ones out there in the highways and the byways calling the people unto the Lord. We are the watchmen who are seeing the truth, and we need to speak that truth into the lives of the people in our world. Today, we're standing here, and I do not want to condemn anyone. Right outside these doors is a baseball game going on Sunday morning. Am I making a point? I have to ask, are we being those watchmen? It's not that we're condemning these people, but after church, are we going to go outside and talk to these people? Are we going to connect with our world? Are we going to be those watchmen who are given the call to reach out and speak the truth of where our world is and what we know is coming into a world that doesn't see it and won't accept it? I'm going to tell you right now, there are some of you sitting here that you don't want to hear what I have to say when I talk about we're not coming back as that mighty power. Our military worries more about LGBTQ than it does about having men who are able to fight a battle. And we all know that to be true, don't we? Brothers and sisters, we are watchmen on the wall. And the enemy is in the house. He's not a far off coming. He's been here for a long time because the church turned silent. Because we were told we didn't know what we were talking about. Because we were told it's not going to go anywhere. Just let it blow over. How many of you heard those things growing up? Oh, don't worry about it. It's just a fad. It's just going to blow over. 25 years later, now it's the way of life. We were told our government is going to destroy drugs. And we only find out within the last 10 years, our government was paying the Mexican cartels to bring it in. Brothers and sisters, we are to be watchmen on the wall, speaking the truth. And that truth is life-saving. I can stand here and condemn and condemn and condemn. What good does it do? None. But if I can lift you up, if I can lift up the name of Jesus Christ, because he is our hope, he is our joy, he is our glory, for we hope not in this world, but in that which is to come. Amen. Because we know that that kingdom lasts forever and ever. And we shall rule and reign with him. Not that we would want to ogre it over anyone. But we will reign with compassion, with equity, with compassion, with joy, with hope. And in that day, is that not what the world is saying they're trying to paint? They're trying to bring in this new world order of utopia where you will own nothing and be glad about it. Yeah, they've said that. You will own nothing and be glad about it. There's only one place where you're going to own nothing and be glad about it. Because even though we own nothing, because it's all Dad's, He gives it all back to us. And everything is at our disposal. And in that day, how many of these people that we love, how many of these people that as patriots we say we care about are going to be there? We need to speak the truth. We need to walk in the way of the Lord. However, there is something I need you to understand. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark. To the book of Mark. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I need to be very clear. I need to be very clear because I want no one to make a mistake on this. We're in Mark chapter 13. We're going to begin in verse 28. I want you all to understand, yes, what I'm talking about is coming. When is it coming? I don't know, but we see it happening. When is that great and fateful day? I don't know. God does. In fact, Jesus is going to talk about that here. Mark 13, 28 through 37. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that He is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed. Keep on alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It's like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigned to each one his task, also commanding the doorkeeper to stay on alert. Therefore, be on alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. Whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning. In case he should come suddenly and find you asleep, what I say to you, I say to all, be on alert. In the NIV, it says, watch. We are to be those watchmen. We are to understand what Jesus here is telling us. That we are to be watching for that day. We know when summer's coming. How do we know when summer's coming? We watch the leaves go, the trees go from nothing to buds to flower to leaf. And they're just about in full leaf right now. How many of you know it's summertime? It's also the time of the coming of the Lord, for there shall be pestilence and famines, earthquakes in diverse places, wars and rumors of wars. And we shall see all these things. But several of the great and powerful things that we need to remember, we needed to see, is Israel back in its own land, Jerusalem in the hands of Israel, that they can celebrate, that Isaiah can begin to come true. And as we know, in our lifetime, I'm talking to you 50-some plus people, we saw Israel get a homeland. We saw Jerusalem come under Israel. And we will not leave this earth until these things have happened. We are that generation. Whew. Man, my spirit is about that big right now. Because I am not worried what this world throws at us. My God has thrown something even bigger. And it is the joy of His heart that we would call out as a watchman on the wall to those who are out there in the world who don't see it. Proclaiming the word of the Lord, using the gifts that He has given us to reach unto a community. I'm talking right here in our own midst. How many of us within the church are going through some stuff right now? I wrote down on our prayer list today to be praying for families, to be praying for finances, to be praying for medical needs, to be praying. Why? Because let's face it, $5 a gallon milk is horrible. Not being able to buy baby formula is horrible. What is going on? It's all planned, people. It's a planned way of bringing down the greatest nation that ever lived, the greatest experiment. Remember, we all need to remember, the United States has been called the great experiment. And the evil one does not want to see it succeed. Because we were born a Christian nation, a nation searching after God and His way. And look how it prospered in a time when everything came against it. I want you to remember what the generation before our generation had to go through to get us to where we are today. And now, we, like Israel, have grown fat and soft, and our children are spoiled. And they don't want to work. They don't want to have to toil for anything because it's all been given to them. Just like Israel. And they began to long after other gods. Because they had everything over here. There's got to be something more. And what is that more? Is not sometimes more actually less? Yeah. In many cases. Because once you get outside of God, you have not hope, you have not joy, you have not peace. And those things will not come back until you reject all other things and take up the cross of Christ once again. And that's what we need to remind our world. That's where we need to be in our own lives. I don't care how hard times get. Do you believe God is with you, that He is for you? Do you believe that He will see you through? You know, I don't pray anymore for God to change my circumstances. I pray for God to give me the strength to live through them. Because in living through them, I see the wonder of my God. I see the hand of His care, the provision of His love, and the transformation of a sinful man. To a man who is on his knees before a holy God that knows nothing I have, should He desire. But I know this, He desires every one of you. He desires your heart. He desires to love you. And for you to love Him. That's all He wants. This world wants your soul, wants to destroy you, wants to tear you down. And not just this world, but the ruler of this world. His whole purpose is to hurt the heart of God, because at the resurrection, He knew He lost. He knew He lost. So now His whole purpose is to hurt the heart of God and to strip away His chosen people. Are we going to allow that? Because as we fail to be watchmen, that's what we're doing. You need to use your gifts. I know there are so many of you, and I know I'm talking to a small church. For those of you out there on internet land, we're not a big church. It's only about 48 of us, 52 if by reason. And the amazing thing is many of you wear different hats. How many of you wear a couple of hats? Yeah, we all know it. And in that, we're stretched thin. But also in that, no, God has empowered you beyond what you think you can do. This week, I was supposed to take 2 days away. Just 2 days of rest. I need it. It's been a long year. Yeah, we're only into May. I told my wife this morning, I'm not going. I said, there's so much I have to do. There's so much that is happening in this little church. There's so much happening in our lives with our family. And how many of you have families? And it just keeps going, doesn't it? When does it stop? Folks, it doesn't even stop after we die, because when we die, we go before God, and that's the beginning. And I said, Lord, I could be selfish and take these 2 days to myself, but there's something more I need to do, and I'm going to rely on you. I told my wife this morning. I'm going to rely on you to give me that time of rest. I want you to think about that. What does that mean? Jesus took time, and he went up in the mountain, and he prayed. Did he have to take days? No. Because one of the things we need to remember, one of the things I need to remember, is to get away with the Lord, even for a moment, is a moment in eternity. How long does eternity last? It's forever. So if we will just take those moments in the midst of all of this stuff that's going on, God will refresh our souls that we can continue on, even in this life, even here, even now. 10 minutes with the Lord. Remember what he says, 1,000 years is as a day is as 1,000 years. We need to take that time. But I tell you, don't take too much, because God will give you what you need as you need it. But then return to your position as a watchman and call out as one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Today, I want us to understand that we need to keep watch. We actually have a warning. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 4 through 11. The Lord is speaking to you and I as watchmen on the wall, as those who are out there in the wilderness crying out. Our lives are to be crying out. There are so many people who are disillusioned with what the church has become. And is it any wonder? You can find any church that will give you any flavor of Christianity that's out there. It's filled with hypocrites. It's filled with bigots. And yes, I know that to be true, because I are one. I'm a broken man trying to find the way, trying to find the truth, trying to find the life. And I know his name. It's Jesus Christ. But I cannot inflict my stuff on this world. I need to keep short accounts with God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do not do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. We need to build people up, people who are saying there's no hope, there's nothing that's good. We need to introduce them to he who is good. Jesus said, no one is good but the Father. Amen? We need to introduce those people to the Father through us. One of the greatest things you have is your testimony. People say to me, yeah, but Pastor, I don't know what to say. How has God loved you? How have you found God? I'm going to tell you right now, the church has never saved a soul. But the Holy Spirit, through other people, has saved millions. I would dare to say it's into the billions. And we need to remember that how we have church is simply a form of worship. Okay? And we can worship however we want within reason. We can sing the songs. We can raise our hands. We can sit here like clockwork in a pew. It does not matter. But what matters is, where is our heart? Where is our mind? Where is our being? Who fills our heart? Who fills our mind? Who fills our being? And are we allowing Him to work through us, in us, that we may be called sons of light, that there is no darkness in us? Because this world wants to see light. They want truth. They want reality. And that's what they're trying to give their kids. That's why they're out here playing baseball on a Sunday morning, to give them a sense of joy, a sense of purpose. How many of you know that you find your sense of purpose through the love of Jesus Christ? And that's where we need to be, as watchmen on these walls, using the gifts that God has given us. Those of you who are teachers, teach. Those of you who are apostles, do the work of an evangel. Teachers, teach. All of us need to be about where we are. A preacher preaching the word of God. A healer healing the hearts of the many. A person who has the gift of helps, using those helps out into a community in a world that so desperately needs the truth of Jesus Christ. Because our world takes and takes and takes. But we know in the heart of Christ, He gives and gives and gives. Because He gave us life, not just once, but twice. And as we do, let us not be caught unaware. Because in that great and fateful day, how many of these people who are unaware are going to be left behind? That day is coming. It's getting closer by the moment. Paul knew it 2,000 years ago. And that's the part that amazes me, because people will say to me, and they do, you know, the church has been saying He's coming for 2,000 years. Nothing changes. I'm here to tell you it has. It's gotten far worse than it was back then. It's not getting better. It has gotten worse. And it shall be as it was in the days of Noah. And they were giving and taking in marriage. But please also remember, in the day of Noah, all flesh was corrupt. Where are we as a society? And I don't mean that as just the United States. I mean as a human society. Where are we? What do we see? What do we know? How many of us are watchmen on the wall, crying out into this world? Our last scripture today is 2 Peter. Please turn there with me, 2 Peter chapter 3. Because I want us all to understand where we are and what our job is, and just what God is getting ready to unleash. And in these words, may we hear the word of our Lord, and may we practice and be what God has us to be and do what God has us to do. Chapter 3 from 2 Peter, and I'm reading the entire chapter. This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice by the word of God. The heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with fire. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. As we read these final words today, we come to the understanding that all this stuff that we see around us is building up to a day of tearing down for a day of rebirth. That is the God that we serve. He is not a God of destruction. He is a God of life. The first thing God did was create. Man began to destroy. God had to take man down and give him a second chance. Man began to build again, and what did we build? Death once again. God, in his infinite wisdom, stepped into the fray, became man, became as one of us, and paid the price that none of us could pay. That if we would cast our cares upon him, believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, that we would have everlasting life. And there is a great and faithful day yet coming. For as he recreated and gave us this time of grace, and that's the one thing we need to understand, we are under grace. We are not under law. But when grace disappears, when the Holy Spirit is pulled away, what is left? The law, and only the law. What will happen to our world who has no grace but only the law? It will be destroyed. For the law does not save, the law condemns unto wrath. That's why the United States is not going to come back up. That's why no nation is going to raise its head again until the great and fateful day the church is taken away. And then 10 nations will raise up, and they will give their crown to one. And he will speak for all of them. And that's the tribulation, and we don't want to be here for that. We will be taken out. But until that day, there are millions, billions that need to hear the truth and the voice of God. We have given ourselves to the church. No. The church is simply a group of people that gets together who are like-minded. And we love God together, and we love each other, and we form a sense of community. Jesus Christ saves. Only Jesus saves. He brings us into that grace relationship. And that's why we're here, because we see that grace relationship in each person that's here. How many of you here today are perfect? How many of you out there today are perfect? Exactly. The church is a hospital for broken people trying to get it right. We're not perfect. We never will be. Until the day Christ makes us perfect. Can I get an amen? But until that day, we are to be watchmen on the wall, calling out, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Calling out the darkness, bringing it into light, that others may see and know. Today, I encourage you, remain steadfast unto the end, for the end is coming. But the end is a beginning. It's simply a changing of address from earth to eternity in care of Jesus Christ. Amen. Pray with me this day. Father God, in this day, you have called us to be watchmen, and we hear your call. May each of us begin to operate in the fullness of the gifts that you have given us, that we can speak into this world intelligibly, knowing how you have instructed us, because you have given that to our inner being through the power of your Holy Spirit. And may we reach out, loving the unlovable, for that is who we were also, changing them as only you can, to everlasting, through the one who is our Savior, Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.